Chapter 5. The Variability of Christian Dogmas. A study of Christian origins and of the history of the Church since the first century reveals that many changes have occurred in the number and nature of beliefs held as essentials of the Christian religion by certain Christian bodies. The geocentric system is an example of a firmly held article of faith, disbelief in which, as in the case of Galileo, was regarded as heretical. Other beliefs have either undergone changes or have disappeared, evolving man having outgrown them. It is clear, therefore, that they never were beliefs necessary for salvation, and that some of them simply were not true. In consequence, it cannot with reason and justice be claimed that other doctrines may only be interpreted in the literal and present-day sense by those who profess to be Christians. This leaves the whole question of what does and what does not constitute Christian orthodoxy in a very fluid state. Indeed, many people at the present time are finding difficulty in accepting as literally and finally true such dogma as the infallibility of the Old and New Testaments, that all mankind descended from one pair of original parents, that their procreative act constituted a fall or grave sin which has been handed down to the whole human race ever since as original sin, by which every single member of the race has been stained, that after some thousands of years, the Supreme Deity sent his only Son down to earth in order that the harm done by the iniquity of the first pair might be undone, and mankind thus be ransomed by a kind of bribe to Satan, and set free from his otherwise rightful hold upon it. That to prevent this original sin from reaching the Lord Christ, who was both man and God, he was born of a virgin who had miraculously conceived. That the consummation of the redemptive process consisted of his crucifixion by the Jews, after which his body was raised from the tomb and later ascended into heaven. That in consequence of this sacrifice, all those, and presumably only those, who are able to affirm belief in this group of ideas before they died, would after death be washed white and clean in the blood of the Lamb. And the normal operation of the law of cause and effect would be abrogated in their case, and that all who did not so affirm were in all probability condemned to eternal damnation, one concomitant of which is to be perpetually burned in the fires of hell, and another to become outcast from God's love of the human race. Admittedly, this theological structure can grant no place to the twin doctrines enunciated by both our Lord and St. Paul of the spiritual evolution of the soul of every man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ by means of successive lives and of the operation of the law of cause and effect. If belief in the fall and redemption of man, according to these doctrines, be the unchanging and unfailing hallmark of the true Christian, then, indeed, neither reincarnation nor karma can be regarded as acceptable by churches established in such belief. Yet, certain Christian denominations and individual Christians, believing that they may lawfully profess and call themselves Christian, do not adhere to the literal reading of this set of doctrines. Some of them find an allegorical and mystical meaning which permits a conviction that no spiritual soul, whatever his belief, can ever be lost or ever excluded from the love of God, and that all his sons shall one day reach his feet, however far they stray. An act of faith of the liberal Catholic Church, from which that phrase is taken, reads as follows. We believe that God is love and power and truth and light, that perfect justice rules the world, that all his sons shall one day reach his feet, however far they stray. We hold the fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man. We know that we do serve him best when best we serve our brother man. So shall his blessing rest on us and peace forevermore. The majority of the members of this communion accept the doctrines of the eternity and immortality of the soul of man, the perfectibility of man, the atonement of Christ as a perpetual interior experience in which the soul continually receives his outpoured, perfected light, life, and grace, thereby being cleansed and saved from far worse error and consequent suffering than would otherwise be the case. And in the operation of an immutable and inviolable law of cause and effect, under which absolute justice is assured to every human being, both in the physical and the superphysical worlds. The true nature of religion. Since the question of whether or not reincarnation is really contrary to Christian teaching may well be the deciding factor in its acceptance or rejection, the true nature of religion must now be briefly considered. What then is religion? What is the nature of faith? Religion, surely, is not only a question of adherence to doctrines, dogmas and creeds, and observances. It is also an experience in consciousness. At its highest, that experience is an ecstasy of union with God, a merging of the individual light in the radiance of the Supreme. In action, religion is service, motive by love. The essential of any faith is to live the life, and the Christian life can be simply described by such sentences as, Christ is our foundation. Do unto others as you would they should do unto you. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Ye shall be perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. The true light, the divine light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. To these may be added the assurance that one day the light which lighteth every man will be consciously merged with the infinite light of God. A deeply religious philosophy of life, which can be justified at the bar of the intellect, is an ever-present human need. In its highest essence, in its original purity, Christianity meets that need by its revelation of the living light which the great founder brought to men nearly 2,000 years ago. Despite the changes and accretions of the intervening centuries, that light still shines. Men and women of every walk of life, humble and exalted, have borne witness to its shining and to the direct awareness of the divine presence and power. Spiritual light is not dependent for its illuminating power upon knowledge and acceptance of the dogmas of any particular creed. Perception of spiritual truth calls for no blind obedience, no enslavement of the reasoning mind. Rather does spiritual truth demand for its reception a free, unfettered, active, but reverent mind and an awakened intuition.
For it is there, in the highest part of man's nature, that the existence of the divine in all creation, and therefore within every man, may be realized and known. To the heart that is responsive to the sufferings of the world, to the active mind aspiring to wisdom, to the intuition that is awake, the divine presence is ever revealed, the divine voice forever speaks. Realization of that unfailing presence, response to that inner voice, these alone are the essentials of a faith which can never fail. Original Christianity, as portrayed in the New Testament, is a revelation of that faith. By this standard, and the quoted evidence of the Bible itself, no violence is done to the Christian orthodoxy by acceptance of the doctrine of rebirth.